Shalom and welcome to Wisdom and Torah Ministries. Today we're going to be addressing one of the things that I found in Torah, based on one verse that I read. It's called declaring the end from the beginning. And Isaiah 46 verse 10 says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. One of the things that I've learned through Torah is that, you know, when you start looking into the Torah, teaching the Torah is very interesting because you get a lot of information just by one little verse. One of my good friends was teaching on this particular verse, something totally different than what I'm going to teach today. But what really provoked me to look into the study was the fact that we know that the Hebrew language is a three-dimensional language. We know that it's a perfect language. As a matter of fact, I cannot curse you out in perfect Hebrew. I got to borrow words from different languages to curse you out. You know, like we know about cursing, you know, Spanish and English people. We can't do that in the Hebrew language. I have to use Yiddish or Ladino or some other language, putting words in there to express something. You know what I'm saying? But in the Lashon HaKodesh, in the Hebrew, we can't do that. That's one of the things. Also, in the Paleo-Hebrew, it was pictograph. It was basically pictures. You can see pictures in the tablets. The commandments that were given to Moses were basic pictographs. The people of Israel, they were slaves for almost 280 years, a total of 400 from the time the prophecy went out to Abraham. Okay, and when they would read the commandment, they can see what they needed to do. It was pictures. It wasn't into the Babylonian exile in which in Babylon, the rabbis, to maintain the integrity of the language, they protected it by doing this, what we recognize now, the square letters. But each letter is composed by other letters. Example is Aleph, two yods and one vav. The letter tav in Paleo-Hebrew used to be an X or a cross, and it's composed of two letters, is dalet and nun, means din, judge. Is the root word for Dan and Dina. Okay. There's different letters. Lamet, you know, Shin, Mem. Mem typifies a closed wound or chaotic waters. Noon typifies a quickening of life. Okay. And the numerical value of noon is 50. 50 represents freedom. We have been redeemed by the blood of Messiah. We have been made free because of the resurrection of the dead, of Messiah. So we have the quickening of life through the blood of the Messiah. So in each Hebrew letter, if you read Psalms 119, you recognize rather quickly, and as I mentioned this in the Aleph Tav teaching, that David, in his wisdom, what he did, he composed a beautiful psalm about the Torah by using all 22 letters of the Torah and composing a psalm. Each eight verses beginning with each letter that has been sung about. So we can see the wisdom. Psalm is not just psalm. Psalm is just an expression of holiness and worship unto the Lord. So when you study the Hebrew language, you're going to get treasures hidden within each story. Because when you start looking at numbers, when you start looking at locations, Bethel, house of God, Dan, judgment, you know, you start looking at those places, then the story comes alive. Names. When the Bible starts mentioning names, if you have an opportunity, go back to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 24, the priestly orders that David established. I think it's 1 Chronicles, I believe. There is what? 24 priestly order for the temple. Each one, and by the name Yeshua, is found in that too. If you take one, each of the verses, and you do a study on each of the verses, and each of the names spoken in 1 Chronicles, and I'm going to look it up right now, 1 Chronicles 24. You can look right now. The first order is Ho-He-Yeh-Ho-Rib, Hedaiah, Harim, Seorim. The fifth order was Mechiah. The sixth was Mihamim. The seventh course was Hakos. The eighth course was Abiyah. John the Baptist came from that line. And the ninth course was Yeshua, the high priest. And then the tenth course was Shekinah, the root word for Shekinah. Yeshua means salvation of Yah. Okay. So see, we see, and then the 13th course is Chuppah, which is the root word for Chuppah, covering. So in those 24 names, you see the whole plan of salvation. So when you start going into those, you know, those little treasures that you find in the Torah, the Word of God comes alive. Now, the same thing happens in this verse that I read you in Isaiah 46, verse 10. See, the foundation of our faith is basically understanding who the Messiah is, who does he represent, and in what language creation took place. Did you know that cymatics is the study of electromagnetic frequencies? They did a study in November 1989 in which they had a Sanskrit, they had a aluminum plate. They put sand on top of it. A lady by the last name of Ebel, she started chanting the Hebrew letters at a particular tone, and the sand in the aluminum plate took the shape of the letter being sung. We have the research. If you wanted this research, you can go to Len Horowitz, and the book is called The Healing Celebrations, to verify. Or you can go to Cymatics, Hans Jennings, and some of the other scientists that have discovered this. So we know, we have the research, and we know that the Hebrew language, when you do your prayers in the morning, you're emitting electromagnetic frequency, you become an antenna of communication between you and God. So if that is the case, and you have that direct link between you and the Father, there has to be more wisdom to it too. Remember the 144,000, they're going to be singing a song. Which song is it? The Torah, Deuteronomy 32. They're going to be singing it at a particular scale, and it's going to be in Hebrew. Song of Moses in the Greek means odeh, which means a Hebrew chanting. So now when we go back to the Hebrew, we start finding the wisdom within the Hebrew language, we're going to have a complete restoration and renovation of our lives. Tikkun, restoration again. Okay? But now what we're talking about is Bereshit. So if Isaiah 46 verse 10 tells us that the end has been declared from Bereshit, from the beginning, then we as believers have to prove that by going back to Bereshit and try to prove it. Does that make sense? And that's one of the things we need to do as believers in the Messiah, in Yeshua. Because if we cannot prove that he existed from the beginning, then we cannot believe in the Messiah, that he wasn't from the beginning. Because Micah talks about that he's from everlasting, he's from of old. All right, so we have to understand those prophecies. Now, so what we're going to do is try to find out what the prophet is trying to tell us. Now, in the word Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et ha'aretz, the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. There are seven words in the Hebrew language. One of them is not translated into any language in the world. That's the Aleph and the Tav. To all my Christian believers listening, is the Alpha. You know it as the Alpha and the Omega. So what we're going to do, we're basically going to share with you, you know, the wisdom within the first expression in the first verse of the Bible, taking letter by letter and understanding the plan of salvation. There's seven words in Bereshit 1:1, Genesis 1:1. Okay, there is a 7,000 year plan according to the word of God in chapter 1 of Genesis. There were 7 days of creation. We are entering into the 7,000 year right now. Now, if you look very closely at the Hebrew text of Genesis 1:1, you're going to notice that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, right in smack in the middle of the fourth word is the Alpha and Omega, the Aleph and the Tav. Yeshua came exactly in 4th BC. If Yeshua, like I said earlier in the previous teaching, if Yeshua would have come in 5,000 years, he wasn't the Messiah. Because in creation day, there was 4 days. On the fourth day, the stars, the sun, and the moon were made. Now, the stars represent the kings, the prophets, okay? And the priests, okay? The kings were the stars, and the prophets were the moon, and the star, and those people were, they came on the 4,000 year, okay? So all of a sudden now we have Messiah coming on the fourth day from creation. The fourth day, 4,000 years from creation. And one smack in the first verse in the Bible, we see ourselves looking at the Alpha and Omega that is not translated into your English Bibles or your Spanish Bibles. And John tells us. John 1:1 tells us. He gives us the answer. Everybody reads it, but they don't understand that that is a commentary on Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So basically, John has given us the answer, but because we have been removed from our Hebrew roots, we don't go back to the understanding of the Hebrew, so we don't see those hidden treasures that John is trying to reveal to us, so we may know that Yeshua is the Messiah, been spoken of in Genesis 1:1. Then we see heavens, Bereshit bara Elohim, et. Now the et the et, which is the aleph and the tav, or the aleph and the mega, is a pointer to a direct object in the Hebrew, right? So what it means is this, that when you're looking in the grammatical Hebrew, when you see the word et, it's pointing to the next word. That means that Elohim, or the word of God, is the one that created the heavens and the earth. Okay, so now, what happens is, in the sixth word, we have between heavens and earth, we see and. When you see in the Hebrew and, well, yeah, that's right, in the Hebrew grammatical and grammar, but there's three letters composed that particular word in Hebrew. Va'et. Va'et. So we can come out and say, Vav represents a hook or connector. And immediately after the Vav, next to it is the Aleph and the Tav. Yeshua came by the sign because the Vav also typifies a nail. Yeshua is going to connect the heavens and the earth by the nails in his hands. Restoration. Tikkun. It's basically the whole plan of salvation right there. Now, when you take the first expression, Bereshit bara, in the beginning created, if you made it, if you take all those words, those letters, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 9 letters, and at the fifth letter, at the fourth letter, you divide it up, and after that you make another word, you come up with created for the head of the house. Now, obviously, if this is what's been told to us in the Torah, then we have to verify it through the New Testament. Let's go to Colossians. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Colossians 1, verse 15. We get the Apostle Paul is trying to tell us who this Messiah is to the letter of Colossians, right? So when we read, he says, he is the image of the invisible God, Elohim, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. Remember that I told you that the sixth letter, that the creator is the Alpha and the Omega, the Aleph top, but then in the sixth word in Bereshit, you see the connector of the heavens and the earth. Okay. And now what you do is, for him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. Well, wait a minute. That's exactly, he's saying exactly what I just read in Bereshit bara. Created for the head of the house. And he's giving me the explanation of what I see in the Hebrew, Bereshit bara, when I divide it up, you get the expression created for the head of the house. And Paul is telling me exactly the same thing right here. Everything was created for him. And the last verse, verse 17 and 18 says, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, the assembly, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have a preeminence. So now we have some key words, the head, from the beginning. He's describing exactly what I told you says in the Hebrew. Okay. When we also go to Ephesians chapter 1, Verse 17 says, On the Elohim of our Lord Yeshua Mashiach, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation of knowledge in him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, which are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the workings of his mighty power, which he worked in Messiah when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in which to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head of all things to the assembly, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills and all in all. He is the head. It is interesting that the word Bereshit, you're going to find those words there. And later on, I'm going to show you some of the words that I found only in the word Bereshit. Now, if we go to Proverbs chapter 30, you're going to encounter a very interesting teaching. Who was this creator? You know, it's called the Jewish riddle. Right? Some of you know. Chapter 30, it tells us this way. It says, surely I am more stupid than any man, and do not have understanding of a man. I neither learn wisdom nor have knowledge of the Holy One. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the end of the earth, the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if you know? Every word of Elohim is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in him. Do not add to his words, lest he see reproof you and you be found a liar. So we see he's identifying who the Creator is. What is his son? What is his name? What is his son's name? Now it's very interesting because this is showing who was the one who laid the powers in the heavens. We know that the Alpha and Omega is the Word, the Memra in the Aramaic, the Vard in the Hebrew, and the Logos in the Greek. Okay, and in Yeshua, when he revealed himself to John, he says, I am the Alpha and Omega. He didn't say, I'm Yeshua. Okay, so basically the answer to the question is, can we prove from Genesis? If we can't, we are not being taught correctly. Because if our foundation is the beginning, in Luke 24, we saw in the previous teaching that Yeshua began in Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning him. Paul did the same thing in Acts 17, verse 2. You know, he will go every three Sabbaths in a row from Scripture. He will prove that Yeshua needed to die and rose from the dead. So the question is, why can't we do it? If the text says, declaring the end from the beginnings, that means that from the first word in Scripture, you have to see a wisdom and treasures. So now we have already seen, you guys follow so far? We have already seen that in the first verse in the Bible, it tells us the whole plan of God, what he's going to do. The whole plan of God is a story about a man. Adam sinned, he was thrown away from the Garden of Eden. He introduced sin into the world. Now the house needs to be restored. Bet means house. Resh means head. Aleph means God. Okay? Shin means El Shaddai, fire. Au means hand. Tav means cross. O and X. Did you know that the high priest used to be anointed in the Mount of Olives with the sign of the Tav? Did you know that the time of Yeshua, the priests that were doing service in the temple, they were no longer anointed by oil or by that letter? They were bought into the priesthood. So these are the little clues that we need to understand to recognize our Jewish Messiah, whether or not he truly is the Messiah. Now, let me go into the heart of the matter here. You know, in this message of restoration and reconciliation, the first word in the Torah, basically, Yahweh has preordained all things just from the beginning. Now, what I found was letters and words that you can get variations when you change the order of the letters in Bereshit. You have six letters without adding any more new letters, but you can remove some of them or you can change the order of the letters. You have a hidden wisdom. You have a hidden wisdom. Now, in reality, all we need to do is look at every letter and we get a message there. It's all about a house in which the man has turned away from God. Basically what it is. That's interesting that in the Hebrew, Kedem means going towards east. You know, Adam was thrown east. Cain was thrown east. Israel was thrown east to Babylon. You know, the tribe of Judah, I'm sorry. Now we are all coming back to the Lord. So when you come back, you know, you're coming back to the east, you're going back to the Lord. When you're moving away from the glory of the Lord, you move east. You got to come west to come back to the Lord. That's what depends where you live, you know. So what we need to understand is that in the Hebrew language, paints a picture. And here's painting a picture. Now, we are only going to get definitions of words. We're not breaking down each letter. If we break down each letter, we have more wisdom in it. It's going to be my teaching next. Okay, so these are the words that I found. Av, father. Rush, bet, which means head of the house. What's this? Sheet, which means appointed. It's a root word for the word Seth. Bara, created. Bet means house. Bar from Aramaic means son. Rav means teacher. Aleph and the Tav is within Bereshit. Okay, it means the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega. Now what I did, I broke down the word Aleph, the letter Aleph, I'm sorry. And I put down Yud, Yud and a Vav, and it means he will judge by the strength of Yahweh. If I take the letter Tav, which means judge, and Aleph Tav, he will, in other words, Yeshua is going to come back. He's going to judge the world by the strength of Yahweh. He's the Aleph on the Tav. Does that make sense? Now, also means Ish, means fire. Boshet means shame. First Tishri is found in Bereshit. Okay. We have awe and fear. We have the Tav, which means seal or cross. Teshuv, return or repent. The word desire is found in the first word, Torah. The word integrity is found in the first word of the Bible. Variations. Combination says Brit Ish, covenant of fire, is found in the first six words. Shabbat. Now people think that Shabbat is found in chapter 2 of Genesis, that he rested. It's found in the first word in the Bible. Bereshit, you find the word Shabbat. Shin Bet Tav. That's why in Exodus chapter 31, verses 17 to 8:20, it talks about that Shabbat is a sign between me and the Father. I'm in covenant with him. Well, that did not originate in the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day. By the way, the etymological root of the word remember in the Hebrew means to speak on behalf of. So the commandment really means speak on behalf of the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Are we really doing that in these last days? When we say remember, did God forget? No, he's asking us to speak on behalf by keeping it. But when we keep the Shabbat, we give an example that we are walking in covenant with the God of Israel. That has nothing to do with salvation. That has all to do with obedience. The other word is light for the daughter. Also man. The word I have. Gift is found there. To sit. To sing. To see. Poor. Glad or blessed. Male goat is found in a variation of that. Dry and fight. All those words paint a picture and they have a message. So the message will be, and I'm going to leave a couple of them out, but the message will be, the whole plan of salvation is found within the first word. And this is what it means. The Father, who's the head of the house, appointed, created a son. Created a house, appointed a son. He's the teacher. He's the Alpha, he's the Aleph and the Tav. He will judge with the strength of Yahweh. He will bring forth judgment with fire. We will recognize our shame. On the first of Tishri, we will look up with awe and fear. And by the seal of the cross, we will return and repent and return to the desire and the integrity, restoring the covenant of fire, observing the Shabbat, that is the light for the daughter. That is the whole message just on the word Bereshit. Isn't that interesting? Israel is the daughter. Israel is the wife. Israel is the bride. So everything declared from the end, at the end from the beginning. Truly Yahweh has done what he said in the prophets through the prophet Isaiah. He has declared the end from the beginning because that's exactly what we're trying to do too. So to review some of this stuff, we see that in the Hebrew language, he's painting a picture. Wasn't Yeshua in a way representing Yom Kippur? When Bar Avas and Yeshua were next to each other, a lot of people don't know, but the name of Bar Avas was Yeshua Bar Avas. Do you realize that Bar Avas was a sea lot? He was a sea lot. He was fighting for the liberation of Israel. He just was killing. He was doing the wrong things, but they were looking at him as a Messiah. They had to be two equal. Obviously, Yeshua is above because he never sinned. But there's two Yeshua. There's two goats on Yom Kippur. One for Azazel and one for Hashem, for Elohim. Amen? So we see the parallels in the feast days, trying to teach us about the mysteries and the richness and the treasures in the Torah. Unfortunately, if we don't go back to the Hebrew, we're never going to see it. Are we going to sing when we see them? The 144,000 are going to sing a song, the song of Moses, which is going to welcome our Messiah. In the Hebrew, perfect language. The one that emits the electromagnetic frequency is a direct line to the Lord. Okay? He is our gift. We were poor, but now we're going to be glad. And we're going to fight for our salvation. All of that is found in the first word of the Bible. So truly, if you really know the God of Israel, we should be able to come back to the first word of the Bible and the first verse of the Bible and describe the perfect plan of salvation. So there in Bereshit bara Elohim et hashamayim va'et ha'aretz, we see the perfect plan of God. 7 words, 7,000 years. On the fourth word is the Aleph and the Tav. Yeshua came in the picture. But the end of the 6,000 years, the Va'et, he's the hook who's going to connect the heavens and the earth in the restoration of all things. And it's all the story about the house. Israel, the land of Israel is our house. Israel is the bride. The Shabbat is the sign between the bride and his husband, and her husband. We have a covenant of fire. Where is the covenant of fire? Genesis 15. When Hashem has the covenant with Abraham and he walked through the pieces of the sacrifice. So if we can see that we have a teaching on every single one of them, because from then on, everything, every word that we have here, there has to be a story in the Torah and in the prophets concerning each one of them. If you think about it, first of Tishri, trumpets. Paul taught about that. The sound of the trumpet, shofar. The seal on the cross. Yeshua died on the cross. Have you ever wondered why Yeshua needed to die on the cross when that was never the method of punishment for? It was either stoning. If you hang on a tree, you curse. But wait a minute. There is a Tav in Bereshit. And it's the last word, the last letter in the word Bereshit. So if you read the word, there's the house. There's the men moving away from the house. Okay? There's God, there's fire, there's the hand of the Lord, and the sign of the cross. The whole message is within the first word. And remember that the priests were ordained, were basically anointed in the sign of the cross. Yeshua died on the cross. He's a high priest in the order of Melchizedek. He died in the Mount of Anointment. He died in exactly the same mountain in which he's going to come back, according to Zechariah 14. So as you see, the Hebrew language is just treasures that allow us to see the wonderful works of our Creator. So we, humble people, can preach the wonderful works of our God in these last days. So if there's a God, if there's a Yahweh, of course there is. But we need to search, and then the Messiah said it, those who seek me diligently shall find me. We knock on the door. Now we're part of the household. We no longer have to knock. We are inside. We are part of, we're being grafted in through faith by the blood of the Messiah. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, it doesn't matter. You're part of the household of God. What are we going to do with that? Just going to sit back and search out the scriptures to know whether our faith is on the rock of our salvation? All this does is strengthens our faith. Basically. You know, when you go to Israel and you talk to some of our Jewish brethren and you talk to a lot of Christian brothers who are looking to understand certain things. And we can open the Bible in the first verse of the Bible, and we don't need the New Testament to talk about gospel. Gospel begins in the first word of the Bible. As we read earlier, we had all those verses right here that point out to that. So now we have the whole point. We have the whole point of salvation, the whole point of restoration. Told to us by the Creator in the first word. In the first word and in the first expression of the Bible. And if you count the letters, that's another teaching. If you count the letter, that's another teaching in itself. If we break down each letter to how those letters are made up, that's another teaching in itself. Something very interesting that I found very recently is that when you go into the Paleo-Hebrew, and you look at the word Bereshit. I got some good friends from Michigan who gave me one of the Paleo Hebrew letters, and it really helped with his study. So when you go, Bereshit says, it's a house. It has pictograph of a head, an ox, strength of an ox. Then you have the yud, which is the arm, hand, work or deed. Then you have the shin, which is consume. The destroyer, and then you have the mark of the sign of the cross, covenant. Everything is about a man who moved away from the house, and God is trying to bring him back to the sign of the covenant. That's what Yeshua was trying to do with us, bring us back to him. So truly the Lord has declared the end from the beginning. What we need to do is take the time to go back and study certain principles of understanding the Hebrew language. So when we go back, let me give you a little rundown on some of the numbers and what they mean. If we go back to numerology, which a lot of people are very negative towards them because they don't understand them, in the Hebrew understanding of teaching, it's called the soul level, and it's called gematria. They take each Hebrew letter and they have a numerical value. For example, 50 typifies freedom, 40 testing, 2 is covenant, 5 is grace, 6 is six is men, 12 is a government. I think I mentioned these earlier. But, we have things work in threes. We have grace, mercy, and peace. We have the world, the flesh, and the enemy, heaven, earth, and the underworld, beginning, middle, and end. We have the law, the prophets, and the writings. Yeshua rose on the third day. We got men, with the men, it's made up of body, soul, and spirit. And time is reflected by the past, the present, and the future. Space is three-dimensional, length, width, and height. And the universe in space, and the universe is based on space, time, and matter. Now, 4 is the 4 directions of the earth, north, south, east, and west, 4 seasons, summer, autumn, winter, spring. 4 things that make up the universe, time, energy, space, and matter. 4 major provisions of men, earth, air, fire, and water. 4 divisions of the day, morning, noon, evening, and midnight. 4 winds. Matthew 24, verse 31. So what we need to do is keep searching those things. Keep looking into those secrets that are found within the story, within the Torah, so that way you can get a better understanding of what the Holy One is trying to tell us to live our lives according to His precepts. So, brethren, I tell you, I encourage you to keep moving forward and keep looking about the Word of God and keep searching the Scriptures. Maybe not in detail like I like to do, but please rest assured that we're walking in the right direction, that we're standing on the rock of salvation. We appreciate you guys joining me, and if you want any more information, please contact wisdomandtorah@yahoo.com. I love talking to you guys. I look forward to seeing you soon. Shalom Aleichem, and we'll talk soon. Thank you for listening to this program. If you'd like more information about Wisdom and Torah and any future teachings, please contact us via email at wisdomandtorah@yahoo.com. Now we leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Shalom. Yevarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha Yaer Adonai panav elecha vichunecha Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you shalom. Amen.